Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris. It's cold. It's early morning. And the swimmers are still, it's Wednesday, the swimmers are still heading out to sea without wetsuits. And it's a big sea. I've just admired these guys, I tell you. You can hear clearly the tractor in the background trying to put the sand back in the ocean on the beach, from the beach. I'm in bare feet today, big mistake. I've just been swamped by water up to my ankles. It's much warmer in the water than it is on the sand, I can tell you. So there's a lot going on here. So the question you got to ask yourself today, which I would think is a great question, what do you do if you work in a company and someone pisses you off? What do you do? So it's going to really depend on your perception of whether you can change that person that pisses you off. If you live in a fantasy world of delusion that you can change somebody who pisses you off, good luck. Because basically, my recommendation would be to treat them as a fixture. They are going to always piss you off. If you perceive that they always piss you off, they're not going to change. You can threaten them. You say, if you don't behave differently, I'm going to get you into trouble. And for a while, they will be compliant. But all they'll do is take the stuff that's pissing you off and put it under the covers so you can't see it. So they'll just do it subversively. They'll do it through others. They'll just piss you off. You'll just tell them not to do it, and they'll behave themselves in a way that makes it look like they're behaving themselves. Do you understand? I hope that's as clear as mud. So if you live in the illusion, you're in a relationship and you're going to say to your partner, if you do that again, I won't like you. If you think that is enough threat, or I'm going to leave, or I won't do this, or you won't do that, if you think that threat is going to cause someone to change their behavior for more than a few days, or just send the behavior that you don't like underground, well, good luck, and probably better that you stop listening to this podcast today. But if you come to the realization, if you're working for a company and someone pisses you off, that it's your perception of them that pisses you off, and if there's nowhere else for you to be in the company except in the company of the person that pisses you off, in other words, you're exposed to it, and you can't leave it, you can't get around it, through it, behind it, avoid it, you only have one choice left, haven't you? You don't want to be powerless. Being pissed off basically gives the thing you're pissed off about power. So if you're pissed off about the environment, you're empowering the environment to run your life. If you're pissed off about whale killing, you're empowering whale killing to impact your life. Now, a lot of people like empowering social memes to run their life because there's nothing else. It's not necessarily the wisest thing to do, because those social memes are constructs by groups of people who believe they're right. And when you start hanging out with groups of people who believe they're right, like Greenpeace or someone like that, you're forming a community of like-minded people who think they're right. And we know that that is just a completely hedonistic approach, given that the most impact you'll ever have in the world is when you know you're right and wrong, but you do it anyway. So if you want to save the whales, you know you're right and wrong. You're not fighting against a resistance, and you're not being manipulated by social media and the bending of information to distort your perceptions. You have a true perception that there's balance, but you decide, well, I would love to save the whales or whatever you do. So, when you're at work and someone pisses you off and you can't get around it, there's nothing you can do to avoid it, then you have only one option, and that is to, if you want to keep your power, that is, and that is change your perception. When you change your perception, you're basically saying, I want to stay powerful. I don't want to give my power to the thing I'm pissed off about. So I'm going to change the way I see it so that it no longer pisses me off. Now, I'm not talking about falling in love with it. I'm not talking about taking it home and collecting it. I'm not talking about getting married to it or getting in a relationship, having sex with it. I'm talking about coming to the point of ambivalence, neutrality, where that person doesn't piss you off anymore. Now, I call that place different to what everyone else does, but I call that place a place of love, because for me, a love is neutrality, where no matter what you do, no matter what you don't do, I love you anyway. So there's no like built into my love. Like and love for me are two different things. Like is romance. Love is a fixed thing. Neutrality. Ah, there's a little baby shark on the beach, all deaded. Huh. I hope all the other babies, sharks, survived. Obviously, that was one of many. So, we move right on along to how do you come to neutrality about somebody you don't like? Well, it's a fairly repetitive process, and it simply goes like this. We don't like somebody if they do anything to contravene our value set. So if our values, let's say, are be successful or be powerful or be wise or be wealthy, and somebody comes in and does something to contravene that, to put it in jeopardy, to put it at risk, we will say, I don't like that person. Now, there's a lot of stuff we want to be. We want to be all the opposite to the fears of the seven areas of life. So we want to get as far away from the fear of death as possible, fear of going broke as possible. We want to get as far away from fear of failure as possible. We want to get as far away from fear of being a lunatic. We want to get far away from becoming dependent. Everybody wants to get away from the fears as far as possible. What they describe as the place far away from those fears is different for everyone. So there are people who make, when they're 40, they say, hi, if I had $5 million, I'll be a long way from my fears, and that's probably enough money for now. And that would, you would think, when they got to the $5 million, they'd sit down and go, well, why would I work anymore? Let me do something else. But they don't. They go, now I'm going to invest the $5 million to make 10, and now I'm going to invest 10 to make that. They forget why they really wanted the 5 in the first place and become obsessed with the sport. So it's really good to put all this stuff in perspective, why we want to be in a relationship. Well, nobody wants to be lonely. We want to get as far away from being lonely as we can. That's the fear. And therefore, We want to be in a relationship. Now, what happens for some is they fill that relationship space with a family member instead of a romantic person, and they're happy ever after. So it doesn't always have to be a romantic relationship that avoids loneliness. That's just the stereotype. It just depends on what we define the fear as and the solution. So, given that somebody can piss us off because they're contravening our values, it's really good, probably, to know our values and what they're contravening, or what they're contradicting, or what they're putting at risk. So you say, the first step would be, this person's pissing me off because they making me potentially vulnerable to failure. You go, okay, so now I'm saying winning, the opposite to failure, is the value I'm valuing. And this person's making me feel like I'm being exposed to failure because of them. So the question to change perception is, how would their behavior be actually causing you the opposite? You say, well, how would this person that's pissing me off, how does dealing with that, having them in my arena at work, and them doing what they're doing, how is it actually making me successful? Now look, there's two sides to everything. When we perceive one side, we're a fool, we're idiot. When we perceive two sides, we have wisdom. And the difference between those two is very often not very much. So sometimes it takes just a tiny hint of a negative quality to make us feel that it's not, we're in the wrong place. And it takes a tiny hint of a positive quality to make us feel we're in the right place. And that's really important to know, that changing your perception is not rocket science. It actually is just finding one or two things that flip the coin and make what's happening something you want to have happen. Well, I haven't gone to Ben Buckler today. I've gone down to the rocks at North Sydney, North Bondi. And I'm standing here right now in a rock pool. I thought the rock pool would be warmer, but it's not, unfortunately. So I'm going to stand on a rock looking out over the beach. What is the situation here today? The real feel on Bondi Beach today is 4 degrees. And I vouch for that. Another 3 degrees lower and everything would freeze up. I remember being in Canada at work at doing retreats, and the retreats were oceanside retreat centers, and the water, the ocean, had frozen. And funny thing is, waves freeze as waves. So the water sort of bit by bit underneath, and the water laps over the top and laps over the top until there's this magnificent echo sculpture of frozen waves. And this is up at near Prince Edward Island, where you travel across a bridge from Nova Scotia across to Prince Edward Island. This bridge goes forever, and the bridge crosses obviously water, and it's frozen ocean. That's a really cold place. I remember one day the temperature on Prince Edward Island when I was there was minus 50 degrees C, the real feel. I walked 100 meters from my hotel, from my where I was staying, to the venue where I was presenting, and got hypothermia. hypothermia. And I was in the warmest clothes that I could possibly muster. So, minus 50. The sort of temperatures you get on Mount Everest, aren't they? And then, it's serious. So, I'm just doing a Wim Hof here today, doing an ice bath without the ice. Actually, an ice bath would feel warmer, wouldn't it? So how do you deal with a person who pisses you off at work? You re-perceive them or incubate or isolate them so that they're not in your purview, not in your viewpoint. But if you're still pissed off about them and you've just managed to compartmentalize them or compartmentalize yourself, you can honestly say you can't lead them. You can honestly say they are running your life. You can honestly say they are a roadblock to your energy or a drain. You can honestly say you're giving your power away. Now, turning a blind eye or pretending it doesn't matter, that's the idiot way of doing it. If you're willing to do that, that's another method. But if you want to evolve to a better version of yourself, it seems to me there is no option. And you can't run away from it. So, in the work of human development, when I do a workshop, I'm not trying to change people, although they would come to the workshop thinking they are about to be changed. What I'm trying to do is get them to own qualities in themselves that they haven't realized they've got. That's not change, that's giving birth to potential. That's a big difference. Yes, we do sell change. But the change comes not because the person's different. It's because they don't react to the same stuff. That's number one. Number two, they get the ability to re-perceive something that currently is driving them. So, for example, our parents do the very best they can, albeit clumsy, to bring us up. Then we get to a divorce, or we get to some point in our life where someone says there's something messed up about you, and it comes from your parents, and you go, those bloody parents did a shit job of bringing me up, or they could have done better, or something like that, and they couldn't have. They did what they thought was the best way to do it. Sometimes that's pretty clumsy. I remember my dad whipping me with a belt with a buckle on it, hammering me to the ground, and I was about 10 years old or 11 years old, to the point where I peed in my pants. It was so violent. My dad would have said he deserves it, and it's the best thing for him. It's all he knew. So it's no use me perceiving my dad as bad dad. He's my dad. Not good to speak ill of the dead. So it was my job to re-perceive what I'd really held my dad accountable for many years. Stop blaming, but take the power back from what I was blaming. So this whole concept means that if you can change it, you do. Like, if you're working and somebody is disrupting your value chain and you can move them around or adjust their modeling, you do it. But if you can't, you have no choice but to re-perceive their behavior. Otherwise, they're stealing your power. Now, if you want to go through life giving your power to elephants and mosquitoes and cold weather and attractive people and unattractive ones, well, that's good. But Then when you count up your power, which is going to be measured for most of us in influence, financial, spiritual, mental, social, career, health, influence, then when you're looking for why it didn't quite come out the way you thought, just remember that you gave your power away free to a lot of things that you worried about. A lot of people that you resented, didn't like, might be wise to give that whole thing a recalculation. It might be wise. I've found it beneficial anyway. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.